another.
You guys always have more verses. That's why.
Breath, you got depth.
Yeah. Well, the text is Mark 9, 38 to 50. I'm going to want to back up here just a little bit, but the reason, to answer your first question, the reason that it's in here is the issue in 38 to 40 about we saw a man casting out demons in your name and we tried to prevent him. And as a matter of fact, the jealousy over the thing, and as a matter of fact, notice in the side margin reference, there's Numbers 11, 26 to 29, which is very...
If you just knew
your destiny island, and you got sermon. You know, I had never actually seen this before until you went through it in this context. But it's interesting that Joshua is the one who raises the question. I mean, a real faithful right-hand man.
Yeah, right.
Well, who is it here? John.
Yeah, it's not some.
Right. It's not, you know, Bartholomew or something like that. Let's just back up a little bit here. This is in chapter 9, and the center of Mark is Mark 8, 1 to 26, which I like to call the critical turn. And this is the place where, after Jesus has this tremendous praise heaped upon him at the end of chapter 7, that he has done all things well, he even makes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak, 7:37. And then after that, you have the critical turn where the disciples don't get anything. You have the feeding of the 4,000. They're wondering, where will you get bread? He just hammers them incessantly, like in verse 18, having eyes, do you not see, and having ears, do you not hear, and do you not remember, and so on like this. Then there is the critical incident of the man that it takes them him two tries to heal. So it's as if this is an incident, but it is also more than an incident. It's kind of an allegory of the way the thing works. You saw Jesus in the first part of the book indistinctly. Now you're going to really see him. And then you get right after this, who do men say that I am? You get the first passion prediction in 8:31. Call to the cross and to fervent discipleship. And then you see in chapter 9, verse 1, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see, and check the Greek there with elelithuion, that the kingdom of God has already come in power. Now, what the reference of that is could be the transfiguration or the crucifixion of Jesus or the crucifixion and resurrection and so forth. But I'd like to direct your attention to verse 7 of the Transfiguration, 9:7, where the voice says, hear him, and then they look around and see nobody else. This is the passing of authority from the people of Moses and Elijah to Jesus. It's the passing of authority. The parallel is 1 Maccabees 2:65, which is the only place where this phraseology comes up, akuate autu, and it is when old Mattathias is dying and there's a transfer of allegiance and authority to Simon. So that becomes very important here, because what happens is that now there is the incident in 11 and following about they say that Elijah has to come. Verse 12, and he declared to them, Elias having come first is restoring all things, and how is it written with respect to the Son of Man that he suffers many things and is held in no regard? Now, I believe verse 12 refers to Jesus, not to John the Baptist. But it goes on to John the Baptist in the next verse. But I tell you that Elias has come, and they have done to him whatever. Now, you'll notice that this apokathistanai in verse 12, to restore, is the same thing that you get in Acts 3:21 when Jesus will come back and restore all things. I would also like you to notice that this is like the last verses of Malachi, where it talks about turning the hearts of the children to their fathers and the fathers to their children. So you have that Jesus' restoration kind of thing. Now you start to see our theme of our text develop with the next incident, which is the man with the demonized boy. And they tried to get the disciples to eject the demon. Well, he says, we asked your disciples to do it, and they asked Jesus at the end, look at verse 28, why were we not able, ekbalein, to throw it out? Well, the answer to that is because they're thinking that they should be throwing it out and not Jesus throwing it out. What happened, did I say in verse 7? Akuete autu, hear him. Once you get disconnected from Jesus, the thing doesn't work very well.
Now, let me point out the cloud, by the way, too.
Yeah.
That's a clear connection.
Well,
read the numbers that God is
oh,
there.
God coming in the cloud. Right, very good. Then comes the second passion prediction, 8:31. And he's teaching them and trying to stay hidden. Note that hiddenness idea versus the great glory at the end of chapter 7. Then comes 33-37, right before our text, and what's happening? The disciples, Bozo City, they're arguing in the way, who is the greatest? And I think this becomes very critical for our text of 38-50. They're arguing who is the greatest, and Jesus puts in their midst a paideon, a child. That's not a suckling child, but it's a small child. Embraces him and says, verse 37, whoever one of such sort of children receives epi to onomata mu, with respect to my name, receives me, and whoever receives me does not receive me, but the one who sent me. Now comes our text. John replied, whenever F.A. is used, this is very interesting. F.A. is used in Mark only from chapter 9 onward. And whenever it's put, whenever it refers to Jesus, it's always a fantastic pronouncement. Whenever it is referred to the disciples, it is always wrong. It is a really interesting pattern. So, Lord, we saw somebody in your name, probably that N is like B in Hebrew, in your name, throwing out demons, and ekolu amen, we tried to prevent him. Let's take that connotative imperfect there. We tried to prevent him because he was not following us. So very similar to the Eldad and Medad incidents. It's a very interesting incident. You might want to cross-reference, which is not written there, Philippians 1:15-18, where Paul says that some people preach the gospel out of jealousy to him, and some people preach the gospel because they want to make things worse for him. But he said, just that the gospel is preached. That's what's really important. So take a look at the Philippians passage. There's also the Acts 19:13, and I don't know if you remember that straight off. That's the seven sons of Sceva, where they try to use Jesus' name to throw out demons, and the demon turns upon them. They're thinking they're going to be doing magic just like Paul. So that's kind of the opposite version of this. Now, Jesus says, me koliete auton, stop trying to prevent him, me plus the present imperative, for no one is there who will do a work with reference to my name, and he will be able quickly to kaka logesai, to say bad things about me. For whoever is not against us is on our behalf. Now, folks, this is a tough passage. I heard somebody preach in chapel when I was on the Fort Wayne faculty. This has got to be 25 years ago. Taking this text. By the end of the sermon, he was preaching that he who is not for me is against me. because this is really very difficult. It's the problem of Eldad and Medad. It's the problem of the guy going out there. It is the problem of the gospel work being done by people who are not within the midst and in your community. And that's always a kind of a difficulty. I mean, you know, what about Billy Graham? Okay? What about the people who are attempting to preach the gospel who have kind of a different sacramentology than ours? I mean, this raises this kind of issue, I think. And I think that probably, especially given what Paul says in Philippians, I want to reference that passage again in Philippians 1. You know, only that the gospel of Christ be preached. You know, that when the good stuff is happening, actually the good stuff is happening, and there may be difficulties with it, but we shouldn't try to stop it for that reason. Now, I think the reaction of John, though, is also to be seen a little bit in the light of verses 33 and 34, arguing who is the greatest. So it's not completely innocent in this regard. Right. Now 41. For Husan, whoever gives to drink, gives you to drink a cup of water in the name, because you are of Christ, truly I say, u me, plus the aorist subjunctive, he shall surely not lose his reward. Now, I want to make a couple of comments on this, and there's a person could wrestle around with some sermon stuff on this. First of all, notice the notion of giving you a cup of cold water, and he will not lose his reward. Now, please understand that the cross-reference here is Matthew 25:40. And this is, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Please understand that up until about 125 years ago, nobody thought that Matthew 25:40 referred to Christians doing good deeds to non-believers. This has switched around completely in the last century. It was always understood that it was about unbelievers doing good things to Christians. Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. The brethren are those who are under the word of Jesus and are baptized into his name. The brethren are not folks who are actually unbelievers and alien. Yeah, the brotherhood of all humanity. That comes from 19th century liberalism. So, there's a lot to wrestle with here as to what this would mean, that people who give you a cup of cold water in the name because you are of Christ, I say they will not lose their reward. Now, I also want to point out something else. Notice that form esta. There is no variant reading there. However, the vast majority of manuscripts, including some very good ones, actually do have a variant reading there, and it's estai with an alpha iota. Now, why would that variant arise? It is because in the pronunciation of Greek at the time, alpha iota was regularly pronounced eh. So este and este would have sounded the same. So I would like you to realize that this possibly could mean because he is of Christ. It could be estai, or he will be of Christ. It could be that. Also, I think there's an issue with the hoti. I think this could be an anticipatory construction, very similar, if you just quickly flip to Acts 19, there's one sort of like this. In Acts 19, verse 4, and this is the disciples of John the Baptist, page 378. Paul said, John baptized a baptism of a repentance, saying to the people, in the coming after me guy, that they believe. See, well, in the coming after me guy should go with believe. that they believe in the one coming after me. And all the translations will translate it that way. But notice how he's pulled something here, Luke's pulled something from out of the hinna clause and put it, as it were, in the main clause to emphasize it. Now, this could possibly be the case back in 41 of Mark 9. Because whoever gives you a cup of cold water to drink because you are in the name of Christ. And if you'd see it that way, then being in the name of Christ, I would see as a parallel to being en Christo. Being in the name of Christ. I think this is the way I'm going to take it in my commentary. As a kind of a proleptic construction, you do see these occasionally around the New Testament. It is also, if you take a look at the variant to onomati, a number of manuscripts do add a mu after that in my name, including the manuscripts for the King James. So that would have explained the King James translation. But let's go on. 42 to 48 has to do with scandalizing. And whoever scandalise one of these small ones who believe in me, it is good for him rather if perikaitai, it lies around him, what? A mulus, a millstone, on a cuss, a donkey connected one, around his neck, and that he is in a condition of being thrown into the sea. Now, I take this verse here verse 42, as and following as a sort of a chiasm to 33 to 37. Now, that is to say, in 33 to 37, there is this argument of who is the greatest. And here in 42, what it's talking about is whoever causes one to think that he's not good enough, causes one to stumble, this is really a bad thing. I'm going to suggest also that 41, which is about giving a cup of cold water, is parallel to 38 to 40 then. So this is the issue of the outsiders and the insiders, something along those lines. Now, we don't have the time here to go into great detail for 43 to 48. You all know this. If your hand offends you, cut it off. It is good that you go crippled into life than having two hands to go away into Gehenna, into the asbestos fire, the unquenchable fire. And then you have your foot and your eye. Now, what I want to tell you, though, and you'll have to look at this yourself, what is incredible is Jesus' switching around of all the forms and constructions. So of verse 43, 45, and 47, none of them has an exactly parallel construction. So, for example, in 43 you have apokopson, in 45 apokopson, cut it off, and in 47 you have ekbale. Then you have kalun estin se in 43, you have kalun estin se in 45, and you have kalun se estin in 47. Then the word of going away toward the end, you have op el fine in 43, you have blathenai in 45, and blathenai in 47. And if you read the better manuscripts in 43, it's skandalise with a sigma, an aorist, instead of skandalidze, and the other two words for skandalidze have a present stem. So there is this interweaving of ABA, ABB, and AAB format, which I think you can also find in Hebrew in the Psalms, that you rarely have exactly parallel constructions.
It sort of says it's
Yes, and it's all tightly woven and connected. Now, you can observe this if, in fact, you believe that we ought to be reading this text and not reconstructing an original behind the text, you know. But if you actually read the text, it's, I like the way you said that, it's tightly interwoven and so forth. Then the two last very, very tough verses here, and I'm not sure that I have very good stuff to say about this. Pas gar piri alisthesetai, everyone for everyone with fire, by means of fire, piri, halisthesetai, will be salted. 50. Good, noble, is ta halas, is salt, the salt. And if, on, ta halas an alan genetai. Now look at that an alan. That's an alpha privative. It's it's not a nalan, but an alan, like anhydrous. So there's a ni, a movable ni in there because halan is salt. So if the salt becomes an alan, unsalty, in what will you salt, will you season it? Artuo means to season. Again, there's a set of variant readings not recorded with the same variant of tai rather than te at the end. Artusatai, in what will somebody salt it for himself in his own interest, something like that. Then Jesus goes on to say, have in yourselves salt and be at peace with one another. Well, he's kind of all over the shop here. And you're not sure, you know, what it is that he's talking about exactly. I'm thinking that verse 49, everyone will be salted with fire, might be related to 38 to 40. And that is, who is worthy, who is unworthy to be with people, and so on. In other words, there'll be a real test in the end. Don't worry about it. Everybody will be salted with fire. Well, then what do you do with 50? I think 50 kind of switches topics. And I'm going to take the very end of it. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another, as sort of commenting back on verse 33, where they were arguing who's the greatest. Okay? So this becomes, in its own way, a kind of a giant chiasm here. But I have to tell you, this business of the salt is really difficult. Take a look at, see the side margin reference there of Colossians 4:6. Let's just take a real quick look at that. That was, when I was working on this last night, that was an interesting reminder. I'd kind of forgotten about that. Page 530. Ha logos humon pantate en charity. Your word, your speech, always in grace, by salt, ertumenos. You recognize that? That's from that arturo word, which is the word for seasoned. Just flip back and see. That's the word in verse 50. Artusite. So this would be seasoned with salt to know how it is necessary that you reply to each one. So the context here is really interesting. It's a very similar context. the context of the way you talk and the way you treat one another. So my own suggestion is that 49 and 50 have a kind of a fundamental division, in that 49 refers to the previous stuff. It's the judgment side. But 50 is not judgment. It is the goodness of those who are in the body of Christ and their relation to one another. If you're reading in the Nestle text, notice the asterisk after the number 50. That indicates that the Eusebian canon makes the split there. So if you look at the inside margin, 102.2, it's table 2, number 102. So the Eusebian canon starts a new section at 50, not at 49, and it takes 49 back up with what precedes, and I think that's right. I think this is a bad division right here, and the old boys had it correct.
You know, salt, again, we got fire, we got salt here.
Yeah.
Right? But salt is also both bad and good.
Both bad and good.
Judgment and salvation,
right,
in a certain sense.
Right.
Fire is the same way.
Yes.
Is the point that he's using these two metaphors to say in 49 that there's this great equalization?
Yeah.
And that goes for both judgment and salvation. Mm-hmm. And all your bickering over greater or weak, or
yeah,
who's in or who's out, or who can do this and who can do that, is all going to be equalized by both judgment and salvation.
Yeah. Well, it is, to use our kind of phrase, I think, it's going to come out in the wash.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about that.
Not your call.
Yeah, not your call.
But then he's saying, but as for you guys,
yeah,
in this sense, salt is a good thing.
Yes.
So actually kind of go be salt and do,
yeah,
do the right thing,
mm-hmm,
instead
mm-hmm
of getting all goofed up by arguing over either who's in or who's out, or is,
yeah,
this,
yeah,
the right guy,
is,
or
this the right, who's greater,
yeah,
I'm bigger,
yeah,
than you are,
or
right,
are you
right,
prophesy in the camp or out of the
camp, right,
and now
right,
sort of back into all the sort of things that we do to gum up,
right,
the kingdom of God.
Now, you'll notice that, it's not there. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 3:13, and this is really related more to verse 49, Andy, page 445. The work of each will become manifest, Paul says. You know, this is his thing about building on a foundation and having gold and silver and precious stones and all that kind of stuff. And then he says, ta ergon, the work of each will become manifest, for the day will make it plain, because fire it will be revealed, and the work of each, what sort it is, the fire will prove it. See, I don't know why they didn't do that side margin reference. That's a pretty good one. I think that's your reference, the way you were laying this out was really good. That's what's going on in 49, but I think in 50 he's on to Colossians, something like this. And I think Jesus has the capability of doing this. It's like that thing in Luke where it's, you have to put old wine into new wineskins and all that kind of stuff. Then he gets to the end and he says that the people say, well, the old is good. Well, I think he's actually switching topics there. That's like saying when Paul says in Galatians 3, the promise actually preceded the law. You know, that there is a factor of what the old thing is that really is good. So Jesus has a tendency to make this little switch right at the end, and I think this is another one of these. Okay, that brings it to a close. Thank you very much.
Okay, you still didn't...